Super Gamecast 64, episode 95. Today on the show, we got SNES Classic Cuphead. Oh, wait, you guys sense that?
What?
It's getting a little cold out. The skeletons are skinning.
The moon is full all month long.
It's nothing.
There's an inexplicable amount of wolves howling at all times.
It's Spooktober! Part one, guys. We always do Spooktober around the time of the Halloween. Mm-hmm. It's no better time to start than now. We have our resident demon. Demon, can you give me your best Spooktober? Spooktober!
I mean, yeah, Spooktober, everybody.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe talking isn't his best suit, so let's do what he did, No, just calm down. It's all right. You know, I don't want my listeners to die. Why don't you play the music that you are here to play? He is our special guest DJ, so Demon DJ, hit that spicy tune. Wow. Thanks to that. God, get him out. He's horrifying.
That's some good audio.
Who brought him? So, guys.
Why?
This is Super Gamecast 64. It's a video game show. It's also a comedy show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always.
It's me. It's Kevin, but I got a sheet on my head with holes cut out. Ghost Kevin.
Spooky.
I am Tyler, but I got a barcode on my head, so I'm Barcode Tyler.
You're Hitman.
Hit Tyler.
Hitman, Mega Man.
Don't hit Tyler.
So here's the deal. I think my PC is haunted because no matter how many times I restart this thing and try to figure it out, someone ends up echoing. So hey, I'm just gonna say it now. Hey, sorry for the echo. You know, one of these days I'm gonna figure it out and then.
Tyler, I've started to think that maybe he just goes in post and adds echo.
You like, were telling me that.
I'm looking at Kevin's voice, and it seems like he's starting to echo out. This is great shit. I'm really.
You know what? If it just
it.
Sounds like I'm across the room, it's not a big deal, I guess.
Yeah, just imagine that he's in a cave.
Underwater.
Or actually, don't imagine that, because perhaps I can fiddle as we go and fix this. That's kind of what my job is supposed to be, is to monitor this audio. But this is kind of a quicker episode.
You're like a hall monitor for our ears.
Yeah. Where's your hall pass?
Sorry, I left it in homeroom.
Do I have to report you to Mr.
No.
Wilkins again?
No.
You know what happens when Paddles. You stay after class. Yeah. Thank you, sir. May I have another? That's a Kevin Bacon quote. So, guys, you like Halloween, right?
I hate it.
Tyler, no, do you like Halloween?
Halloween.
I already know the answer to this. Objectively, you said last year you loved it.
Who doesn't love Halloween?
Here's the thing about
is
October.
It year by year?
The party aspect of it.
Yes.
As long as I'm the one throwing the party in my home where I can stay.
I understand that.
So you like
I'm
being
not doing that this year.
You like being in a party atmosphere, you just don't like parties.
I like hosting.
Mm.
That was actually surprising that you yelled that loud and you didn't blow out the levels. Guys, here is a great transition. Everyone loves a good transition. Talk about parties. What do kids do at parties?
Throw up, eat too much sugar.
Continue.
Run into
getting there.
Walls.
Close.
Fill up. Well, no, why throw up already?
Yeah. Huh?
Cry.
Activities
Sleep.
Is the correct answer.
Activities.
Oh,
right. Activities.
Activities.
Yeah.
You all remember
talking about Jackbox 7? Oh yeah.
I'm bringing it back a little bit more technologically based. We're going a little bit more to like the pen, like the. Would you rather? Is what we're doing.
Oh, okay.
You know,
would you rather punch a ghost or a pumpkin?
God damn it! Don't ruin my shit. That was one of my first. That was my kicker, bud.
What?
Would you rather punch a ghost or a pumpkin? Jeez,
I couldn't have unless this spooky time of year is giving me the psychic powers.
You're probably gonna want to not speak under your breath because it looks like these echoes are coming back. I'm just saying, Kevin, you're gonna want to be full bodied this episode.
All I do is talk under my breath. Okay, all I do.
You gotta be full bodied. In the spirit of Halloween, I have prepared a list. Guys, Tomb Raider had a new movie trailer that came out. It's that something that's topical. So let's talk about Tomb Raider real quick.
Oh,
if you were Tom Raider herself and you were tasked, would you rather take one of these two missions Well, go on one of these two activities.
Okay.
Would you rather explore a spooky crypt full of cadavers and possible ghosts, or B, make a really big jump but hang off the edge at the very last second, narrowly escaping your surprisingly graphic mature rated death scene? This is a reference to the Tomb Raider reboot.
I think I'd rather chill with the mummies.
Can I stay home?
No, no, you have to do one of these. You are Tom Raider.
Tomb Raider, not Fridge Raider, Tyler.
Yeah. You're Tom Raider, the legendary one who searches the tombs. Now you have to either search the tomb full of the ghosts, or you have to jump over the big log, or the airplane wing, or whatever the hell it is this time.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll
tell you what, Bobby.
I'm not good at holding on to things, so ghosts it is.
I just realized that I'm probably booming out my mic, so I'm going to sit back a little bit. I apologize for that.
I did see one of those Tomb Raider death scenes. I think Conan was playing it.
Where she just got, like,
impaled, like, through the
lower jaw.
Surprisingly graphic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's, like, scrabbling. Yeah. The best way to put it. Like,
yeah.
That good old, like, you've just now died and your body's convulsing.
Uh-huh. No, it was, like, trying to, like, pull it out of her face.
Yeah,
and then,
she was
and then
trying to move,
seizing,
remove
yeah.
the thing from her head.
I really enjoyed that specifically, that part, because it's like, hey, they're not messing around with Tomb Raider anymore. Let's Tomb Raider good. So the consensus right now is
that's when the game ends.
Tyler, I'm pointing at Kevin. Doesn't matter for the listening audience. Tyler doesn't want to go at all. Kevin, spooky crypt. I'm gonna go also with spooky crypt
crypt as long as I have my polygonal boobies to defend me.
Oh, that's a whole other Tomb Raider.
Oh,
so if you had the okay, for those who don't know, original Tomb Raider Lara Croft, when she was on the PlayStation 1, her titties were like, they're like
pyramids.
Pyramids that could
kill. They're like wedges. Like, you could put her face down on a big log and hammer her back and she'd split it.
Diamond
tipped.
If she laid on her stomach.
Diamond tipples.
If she laid on her stomach and faced forward and then you opened a door in front of her, and she would just stop real good. Just boop, right there. Well, that's good. I'm glad. Did you guys see the new Tomb Raider trailer?
No.
Wait, is it ghosts?
Well, there is no answer.
Oh.
The game is Would You Rather. Is it ghosts?
Tomb Raider made by ghosts.
Yes, it's always ghosts. No, Tomb Raider. Yeah, Alicia Vikander. She was in Ex Machina. She played the robot in Ex Machina. She's the
Give
new
me a
Tomb
different
Raider.
Name, one that I know.
I don't know. She's in other things, but
Tom Brader.
She's going to be in Tomb Raider.
Anyway, she plays Lara Croft in the new Tomb Raider movie. It looks like it's borrowing a lot from the reboot. Or, like, the game reboots, the newer games. So that should be interesting.
That's terrifying.
Lara Croft. Don't
get impaled. Don't do it.
Don't worry. Hey, let's move on. We have another Would You Rather right here. Let's go a little bit more classico. A little classico. What's Resident Evil? You guys like Resident Evil, right?
Nope.
I know Tyler doesn't. That's why I put on that. He's on here. If you had to, would you rather, A, take on the Spencer Mansion, which is Resident Evil 1's zombie dog and zombie-infested mansion that has a giant spider and a giant snake, albeit you do have a rocket launcher to defeat them with, or live through Resident Evil 7, which is essentially the PSVR. By the way, DLC for that is coming out soon. Free DLC for Resident Evil 7 on PSVR also works. But yeah, you can either deal with giant spider and snake and adult zombies in the mansion, or literally live through Resident Evil 7. Go down to the good old South and get some of that home cooking, a.k.a. like cannibalism.
Yeah, I'm going to say one... Easy mode.
One could argue that Resident Evil 1 sees more combat than Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Because so Resident
not really...
Evil 7, you're walking around, you're like, oh, I got two bullets and two zombies. I could just use one of them to shoot both of them, but it would be difficult.
How about you, Tyler? Would you rather take on the zombies or take on questionably sane, I'm not going to spoil it because the game, but crazy, like, southern people? Who are gross and
southern people?
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, this is me personally. I'd take on the Spencer Mansion. That's a complete lie. I would just die immediately.
Oh God, that is the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Oh no. So
that's pretty creepy, man.
So
it's great to listen to.
So Kevin just picked up a Diablo packet of hot sauce.
The fact that it's Diablo,
and there's no words written on it.
Is it empty? Nope, it's full.
It's the mark of
blood.
Which brings us to our next question. Actually, doesn't bring us to our next question at all.
You don't want to know why?
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess why? Yeah, why? Why would you? Why would you choose? Well, no. That's why I was going to ask Kevin more why, because Kevin was the one.
Why.
Kevin was the one who chose
rocket launcher, dog.
Yeah, but there's like the difference of. I mean, I think you get a rocket launcher.
Yeah, but
and,
I can just like load my attaché case full of rockets and just
attaché. Oh, that's French. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look at you. You probably die
also
in there anyway.
Leon, man.
Say that's not Leon. Is,
I don't know. Fucking know.
It's Chris Redfield or Jill Valentine, my guy. I wasn't even going to put Resident Evil 4's scenario in there because going and rescuing the president's daughter and looking up her skirt for 40 hours is not a bad time by any mark. Tyler. Wait, is she underage? Fuck. I take it back. I don't know.
Oh, I'm calling the cops. On the phone right now.
Oh, God. They got me. Yeah, Tyler, it's just, you just don't, you like the South.
I'll tell you what.
He likes
I'll tell you what.
He likes that soupy heat.
Y'all didn't have known that he come down here.
If I was in a house full of...
Imagine yourself completely under,
in a house.
Under duress.
If I was in a house full of dirt and gross things and ugly, weird tentacle zombies.
Yeah.
And I lost my foot. Let's just say I lost my foot.
That-
and then I sprayed it and it reattached itself.
Yeah, now you're concerning yourself with the reality that you're living
good.
Within. Yes, I would say because then once you escape from there, you're now living in a world where... You can just solve all your illnesses with spray aerosol
yep.
cans.
Aerosol happiness.
That's yeah. That is actually very interesting. That the world that Resident Evil 7 takes place in, medicine has progressed to the point where they can just heal you with spray, but still there's rampant viruses.
It'd be so great until 5 years later when global warming kills everybody because everyone's always spraying themselves.
Well, it's
with
not
aerosol.
Like aerosol. It's more like.
That's not aerosol. That's like squirt bottle.
Okay, so it's a squirt bottle then. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Let's move on to the next one.
The point... wait. Go can ahead. We talk about spoilers?
Nah. Let it lie. That game is what? It's just this year.
Yeah.
We could do it next year.
Is it really this year?
Yeah, that was January. That's going to be in talks for GOTY.
Oh my...
Okay.
It's on my list. I'll tell you what.
I mean, it's a good time. And then finally, this one is more of strategic. This doesn't really have to do with anything... Instead of anything, it's just they just forgot to write something on there at the cookie factory.
I'm sure it's just a mistake, but it's so spooky.
Once again, it's a Diablo hot sauce packet from Taco Bell that has nothing written on it. Potentially the spookiest thing of all time. This is more strategic, but this is still in line with something you'd find in a spooktacular video game or movie. When you're exploring a dark area, would you either A, have a high-powered flashlight with only half a battery, or B, a stable torch but with no way to relight it? Ooh, the silence is thinking.
I got you here. Torch. Because every monster hates fire. Except for fire bats and things that are already on fire.
Tyler, how about you?
But then you'd have a way to relight the torch.
What about daemons?
What about daemon tools?
Wait a minute. So what are we exploring exactly?
I was just going to tell you that's the joke is that you're exploring a world completely underwater. And that's how we're kicking it. Because I knew Tyler was going to try and, or Kevin was going to try and be all like, oh, I'm going to be crafty. I just light something else on fire. Try to game the system, bitch. High power flashlights work underwater. So that's what I'm choosing.
Not
Tyler,
all of them.
I suggest
some
you.
Some of them get rusty.
Well, yeah. And
this
like,
is under the assumption that it would
fire
work.
Fire doesn't work underwater.
Unless it's a flare.
What if it's like,
solar
but
flares.
It's a torch.
Okay, guys.
British people call flashlights torches.
Let's bring it in.
Sounds like we got a flashlight off.
Let's bring it in. Let's bring it in. We're about 15 minutes in. Remember I said this is a comedy show. It's also a video game show.
Good start.
How about some video games?
Something equally scary, but more in line with our industry. You guys remember Fortnite Battle Royale?
No.
It was the PUBG mode in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Even more interestingly, it is now its separate client. Which leads me to ask questions like who's working on normal Fortnite. Here's something fun. Bluehole, who is the publisher of PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, they put out a press release against Epic, who makes Fortnite, because Epic owns the, this is going to be a little confusing guys, but Epic owns the engine that Fortnite is built on. And then the people who made that engine, they went out and they made their own competing PUBG game in Fortnite Battle Royale. So essentially what you have here is a very large company who is helping out a smaller company who has now gained a lot of money make a game. And then they make a direct competition. The whole press release was, hey, you guys, it was basically Bluehole saying, we're pretty sure you copied directly off of our idea, and that's like, we don't think that's cool, but you used our name and when talking to the press, you used it in advertisements for your game, and no one ever asked us if you were allowed to use it or even talk about it. So they're quote unquote threatening legal action potentially. But yeah, what do you guys think about this? Because it's that weird thing of, is a genre something that can be copyrighted? Because I don't think, you know, like, you can't really, you could steal a game idea, but there's so many things that are so similar nowadays. Like, if you look at what 2 or 3 years ago, like Call of Duty and Halo were almost indistinguishable. Where do you think, because a lot of the people with this ethically are saying that a larger company that is trying to help someone like Blue Hole with, it's kind of hard to explain if you're outside of it, but like any time that something would go wrong with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds on a technical level, they would have to call Epic and be like, hey, what's going on with this engine? We have tech support questions. You're calling Epic, who is now a competing company who has made a copy of your game. So are they going to tell you everything? Are they going to give you the proper support? Are they going to withhold things as to make their product better because you guys are in direct competition? Across the board, I mean, it's very confusing, but what are your thoughts on this?
I heard recently that Blue Hole also broke off and formed a new company.
I did not hear this.
Separate from PUBG. Well, I mean...
Well, Blue Hole's very big.
Yes, yes. Something about, I believe, the CEO... reincorporated as a different company or something like that.
I missed that, but I...
Yeah, it was, like, news last week. I don't know. I mean, I think...
I guess whose side are you on? It's a very pickly situation.
I'm still really upset at Epic for making Fortnite what it is. Mainly that they buttonholed microtransactions at the last minute to make more money.
And they also sidestepped their original vision for this new mode.
Right, and then they... put this one out, which it just reeks of desperation to me.
It really does. And the problem is for people like you, Kevin, who enjoyed the game, where's the support for that? Tyler, what are your thoughts, man? It's like the good old David versus Goliath thing, but this time David started off as David, and then now he's like David with $1,000 bajillion. But Goliath still has $1,000 bajillion. Let's just say legally, this probably won't happen because it would just be a legal battle where everyone would lose money and no one would have a good time. But... I feel like, Tyler, for you, you're a fan of the little guy, the PUBG in this race. But what are your thoughts?
Well, why can't we all just have the same game? Why can't we all make the same
competition,
game?
Competition breeds invention.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It breeds hate and war and legal action. Just don't make the same game as someone else.
Very true. So,
very obviously the same game as someone else.
I'm with Tyler on this one. If not so much the idea of, like, hey... don't blatantly copy a game.
That's what I'm saying.
But they in their press release, they said, hey, we really like PUBG. We hope you like this. And they never asked PUBG about anything, whether or not they use the stuff.
I think historically, competition has bred ingenuity. My citation in this is from Masters of Doom, which Matt and I have both listened to now.
It's a good book.
In which the creators of Doom, John Carmack and John Romero, created... Dangerous Dave in copyright infringement, where they literally took all of the resources from Super Mario 3, recreated them on PC, and then ended up using that technology to expand and kind of shoehorn into the what eventually became the engine for Doom and Quake.
Dangerous
and
Dave.
Like that. Well, Commander Keen first, but
yeah.
Nonetheless, the impetus for them to create that experience on PC is, you know, what caused them to become better programmers, to just in general create. So I think historically, and that's not the only example, it's just the most recent one I can, like, not the most recent, but it's the one that comes to mind.
Well, I think just like you said, historically competition's good, but this just, especially with the way Fortnite rolled out as a $40 early access, looking at Fortnite as a package, and we're going to move on from this because we're already at 20 minutes.
Boy, I'm just so salty.
But looking
Fortnite.
At Fortnite as a package, we had a game that could have potentially grown into something that was at least a niche fan base of very dedicated people who enjoyed the game.
If nothing else.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
Yes.
But now what they've done is they have not only split the focus to a completely different mode that is in direct competition with someone else, reeking of what you said, desperation, but where's the support for the original Fortnite? Even better question, if somebody were to download this Battle or 100 Battle Royale, there's no tutorial. The tutorial is in the normal game, Tyler or Kevin.
So they charged $40 up front for a free-to-play game. They put microtransactions into it. And now they're trying to ride the coattails of PUBG.
Which they release as a free-to-play.
The whole thing is just... I don't know. To me, as a gamer, I feel like it's just a money grab.
Here's my question, and this is going to wrap us up on this. Does Cliff Bleszinski still work out of Epic?
I don't know.
Did Epic make Lawbreakers?
I also don't know.
Are you thinking, is Lawbreakers the right title?
Yeah, Lawbreakers is the one where it's like Overwatch, but it's Cliff Bleszinski, and he said it was going to be really, really dope, and then it turned out to just be like Overwatch. But he was very, very adamant about the fact that it wasn't Overwatch. Because, I don't know, that's just something else that's been popped up
He's
lately.
Listed as former design director, and... Yeah, Lawbreakers is one of the first things to come up when you search his name.
Well, yeah, because he was really behind Lawbreakers. My ultimate question is whether or not he's like behind this Fortnite stuff too, on somewhat of a directorial level, because this stuff all just reeks of like, you know, not so much malice, but it kind of reeks of like being out of touch, you know, like being out of touch. If you haven't heard of Lawbreakers, just YouTube, like Lawbreakers failing, Lawbreakers, there's so many videos that are compilations of Cliff Bleszinski talking about how it's nothing unlike anything else. And he has that Cliffy B arrogance of him, like, I'm gonna shit all over these stupid Overwatch games, and his game ends up sucking. So,
and it's got a 9 out of 10 on Steam.
What? Lawbreakers? I mean, that might be ironic. Everything I've heard about it is that it's just got like no player base. The first week of it, I think it had less active online users than Project Cars.
Question.
Yeah.
What has Epic done?
Gears of War.
That wasn't a complete ripoff of something else.
Gears of War.
Just
and the Unreal Engine and Unreal Tournament.
And Jazz Jackrabbit.
Jazz Jackrabbit, yeah. Well, one could argue that Unreal Tournament was Unreal before or after Quake?
It was after.
Okay, so one could argue that Unreal was a little bit of a copycat, but that was more focused on multiplayer. I guess Epic has always been more of the guys who dealt with Unreal. Let's just move on from that, because legal stuff is kind of boring. By the way, speaking of legal stuff, we're not doing an ad roll this week because we just don't have the time, guys. We'll do our shout outs at the end. Real quick, guys, the Wii Online shop is shutting down in 2019.
Oh my God, my heart.
Now,
I don't think I've plugged mine in for 2-3 years.
That was my initial reaction, is like, who cares, you know? But what this means is that every single Wii game that anyone has bought digitally, this is the first time where we had this digital era,
mm-hmm.
and everyone bought into a store, you know, whether or not you spent a bunch of Nintendo points or whatever, once this thing goes down, you can't re-download your games if you delete them. Well, I think you can download your purchase history, but if you like lose your Nintendo Wii or dies, that's just it. That's it. There's nothing in place to re-download any of that content. You can re-download it to like the Wii U through the backwards compatibility thing, I think.
But if you don't have a Wii U,
you just have a Wii. Yeah, yeah. And like, let's assume that let's say this is a family who had a Wii and they find out the shop is shutting down. It's not a very realistic kind of situation, but they're like, oh, let's go get a Wii U, and then their Wii dies. This is just the first instance where we have a digital market that is being closed down, and everyone's always saying, like me, I have, all of us probably have upwards of $2,000-$3,000 worth of games easily in digital purchases.
To be honest, I still prefer
physical.
I mean, I can get it.
Yeah. But this is the first instance we're seeing of that kind of thing going offline, which brings up the question, like, is digital really that great? I don't want to bring up that whole entire argument right now, but I just thought it was interesting because everyone's talking about like, oh, where there goes the Opera browser, and I'm like, there goes literally all your virtual console. And last time I checked, there's no virtual console plans for the Switch, my guys.
So basically, if you want to catch the Wii wave before 2019, just go to a garage sale and buy one for $25, because that's where they all
are. Oh, yeah, you can get a Wii for like half a can of SpaghettiOs now.
Which is hilarious, because, man, not even remember
meatballs.
The Christmas when that came out and people were like fighting over it?
I worked.
Yeah, hold your Wii for a Wii, that lady died.
That's right.
Wait, what?
They didn't outlaw Wiis. A lady died because she held her pee.
Oh, that's right. That lady did die. I remember, yeah, and I worked at a GameStop during that season, and I actually wanted to start a list of every person who would call and ask for a Wii, and then I would tell them we didn't have it, and my boss made me stop it because I was just using too much paper. It was, well, I would print off, you know, receipt paper, like, and I would, like, do, like, little marks, but they were big, and by, like, 40 or 50, he'd be like, all right, stop, you're just wasting receipt paper. And I'm like, all right, funny. That's all I really had in news. There's been tons of stuff in the news, guys. Just very icky news week. We're just going to bring this up real quick. I don't want to sandbag the whole show, but the Las Vegas shooting that just happened, absolutely fucking disgusting. I have nothing else to say on it.
Whenever something like this happens, I really hope they don't circle back to the old video game argument.
Yeah, I highly doubt they'll do that. But here's the thing is I wanted to bring this up because there's one of two ways when you're public facing like us, there's one of two ways you can handle this. You either acknowledge it or you completely bypass it. And I don't want anyone to think that we were, just brushing over it.
Right.
Our job is to bring you jokes and to bring you laughs and topical video game content and belaboring the point of something that's been said a million different times, a million different ways on the internet already. It's not my place to say. All I have to say about it is what everyone objectively, whether you sit on the left, right of any sort of policy, it's fucking disgusting. It should have never happened. And it's honestly despicable that anyone would have done that. Unless anyone else has anything else they want to say about it.
Nope.
That's literally all I want to say about this. Because
I mean, we're not going to talk about the details, so no.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe another time, another place. But let's talk about something cheerful. I heard the notice that there was a Super Nintendo Classic that was available on Thursday. Well, Thursday night, midnight, going into Friday night. And I was
Did
all like...
Did you get one for me?
No. I thought you said you didn't want one.
I didn't.
Well,
I was just wondering.
No, it's okay. There was only one per person in the line, but I had called my Walmart. I tried calling a bunch of places.
There's some jackass sitting there with receipt paper just marking off each person that called.
And then the boss next to him is like, stop, you're just wasting receipt paper.
No, it's Walmart. You can eat it if you want. I don't care.
So I called like Best Buy. They didn't pick up after three times. So I was like, I'm not worried about this. I called the Toys R Us's. They weren't having anything. I called up Walmart and I spoke to a nice gentleman who assured me that they would be available at midnight, but he had no clue what the plan was. That was on Wednesday. And I was like, yeah, guys should probably have some sort of plan. I called on Thursday at about 7 or 8 p.m. And I said, hey, what's up with the SNES Classic? She says, we got like five people in line. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll head up there. So I called my buddy Mike. We went up there and we got ourselves the SNES Classic. There's like, they got like 23, 24 of them. I've heard reports of some Best Buys getting like 200 plus people who were just walking in there, getting them the first day, which I got to say, props to Nintendo for somewhat stocking well.
Learning.
Yeah, definitely learning it out. I haven't played too much of this SNES Classic, but what I will do is just field questions to you guys because there's so much stuff to talk about this in both games and content. Just ask if you had any curiosity.
I think the best thing to come of this whole event was that I believe it was Clickhole. Or maybe it was The Onion.
One of them.
An article where it was like, why would you go buy an SNES Classic when you...
No, that was The Hard Times.
Was it The Hard Times?
Yeah.
Man, when I saw that, I was laughing because I was one of those assholes. I still am one of those assholes. I still think it's...
The headline that he's referring to is, why would you spend $80 on an SNES Classic when you can buy a Raspberry Pi and never shut the fuck up about it?
That's right.
Because, yeah, obviously you can buy a Raspberry Pi, which is basically a little Linux device, online for like $20, load all of your ROMs on there. Much cheaper option, much more optimized option. But funny thing, we have now come to find out that the innards of the SNES Classic is the same, not like similar, literally the same chipset they used for the NES Classic, just with different emulation on it. Which, what this means is, anytime Nintendo ever says we did not intentionally stop stocking things, you can't trust them. Because I bet you anything, they had a bunch of these chips left and they were like, you know what? Well, let's just hold on to them, make an SNES Classic. And then they just manufactured the plastic bodies for those. Like, I'm not kidding. I forget who opened it up, Digital Foundry or something like that. But it's got the same freaking notches to fit into the NES. It's the same manufactured chip.
Funny.
They were just all sitting there. And they're, yeah.
Give it a week or two, and there will be somebody who's like hacked them to play both.
That's what I was saying to go on to is because the NES Classic was basically just a little baby Linux device, and the AC is not an AC, it's a micro USB. someone already, they very quickly just made something that would self-boot and you just dropped all your ROMs onto it. People have NES classics that have everything from, you know, MAME until like Sega Genesis, 32-bit era. But the thing that this means is, because Nintendo was so stupid, well, not so stupid, because Nintendo effectively cut corners and didn't manufacture a different kind of chip, yeah, that makes the SNES Classic just as easy to now hack, because it's the same thing. Last I checked on Reddit, which was like the day I got it, someone had already got it up and running, had dumped the entire kernel in case anything was wrong. They were just working on a step-by-step process to make it as easy as possible. So by no means am I advocating taking an SNES Classic and breaking it open. Well, you don't have to break it open, but installing all the ROMs on the internet.
Technically speaking, break it open.
But if you want to just download all the ROMs on the internet, very quick. Some of those Nintendo ones are very hard to get a hold of. But yeah, the legality of that is weird. Anybody there,
there's something good to say about the fact that, you know, because my biggest argument against my original argument of getting a Raspberry Pi is, you know, for a lot of people who just couldn't be bothered to do all
better.
That shit, it's just ready to go. You take it home, you plug it in, you play it.
That's the thing I like the most.
It's got like 21 of the better games that were out on SNES. I mean, there's a lot of crap on SNES.
There's some crap that's still on here. Last night I tried to play Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Fuck that game. Let's just say that right here. Super Ghouls and Ghosts, I never got Super Ghouls and Ghosts. I never understood why people liked it. The jump mechanic is garbage. Wait, is this something that you like, Tyler?
Of course it is. Look at him.
Tyler, why do you like, the jump is like you jump
because
and then it's
Arthur.
Like,
because Arthur,
stop.
That's why.
Okay, I will say that Arthur is very endearing. Uh-huh. I like the character designs. I like the world design. How many hits does it take to kill a boss? Can I jump and shoot? Why do I stop when I'm shooting? I don't understand these things. What's the hitbox of an enemy? Because last night I totally jumped over one, and then all of a sudden I was in my underwear.
You can't jump over enemies. You can't. It's not a thing. It's not an option. They're lines. You can't jump over them.
That would make a whole lot of sense. No. All I'm saying is that
that's why they're super ghouls.
Compared to something like Mega Man X.
Even in Ghouls and Ghosts and Ghosts and Goblins, just you can't get over them.
I did play much, much more of Ghosts and Goblins because I had that on NES. I got pretty far into that. But dude, I only played it because, you know, it was one of the games I had. I can't. Super Ghouls and Ghosts, I can't. I'm sorry, Tyler, that you like it. I'm not sorry. I'm glad you like it because that means that there is something to like about this game and I'm not just being a jerk. But
you know
yeah.
What game's better?
Earthbound.
Altered Beast. It's not on SNES. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, Sega Genesis Earthbound or Altered Beast is better than, I would say that. Because those are both arcade games.
They feel like they're kind of kindred spirits in a way, just in the way that they play.
I'm pretty sure, Altered Beast like 2.5D? Like Double Dragon is 2.5D?
No, it was actually, I think it was one of the older Genesis games.
You can't move up and down?
Well, it dropped from the,
No.
Unless in one of the later forms, let's see.
Maybe. I'm talking about like the original Genesis.
Maybe one. I'm thinking of Golden Axe. Is that 2.5D?
Yeah. Golden Axe is 2.5. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Golden Axe you can move up and down in the vertical space. It's more of like a curved surface or like a diagonal surface.
Speaking
than just a flat.
Of Golden Axe, you guys excited for Thursday?
What's Thursday?
D&D.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm always excited for D&D.
Hamish Golden Axe.
It's fine. Speaking of that, guys, that will be probably, I don't know, Tyler, the D&D stuff we're going to be doing.
I just have to make you. It's ready.
Okay. I'm not sure if I want to do it for 100 because I've been thinking about it more and more. And Giant Bombcast also did their 500th episode. And yeah, they made a good point. It's like, I don't really want to jerk ourselves off. Like, there's going to be tons of stuff for 100. 100 is going to be like dead set in the middle of November. So maybe we will do like a nice little special episode, but we have to still do a normal episode because around episode 100, it's going to be like dead set in the middle of November, December, and we'll be like, hey, forget everything that's happening. We're guys who make a podcast. I mean, I understand the idea, but we'll see. Maybe we'll do that for the 100. I'm not sure yet, but look forward to that. SNES Classic, worth $80 in my opinion. The only thing I would say is that you're going to want a longer HDMI cord and a longer micro USB to USB because those two things.
And time your hands because it's so small.
It's smaller than a Blu-ray case. I mean, not in thickness, but in actual size.
So what you're saying is it's SNES.
But small.
But
thin.
Thick.
I don't even know if that picked up on my mic because no. As far as I'm concerned, I'm literally just picking up on your mics at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So once again, I apologize for the echo. If Kevin is really trying.
I sound like a golden god.
Good job. guys, let's talk about this. This is the next one we got.
Is this the sequel to It?
Nah, let's talk about Baja Edge of Control. Baja Edge of Control. Do you guys ever play the original Baja Edge of Control?
I don't even know what that is.
The what?
Baja, : Edge of Control.
Is this a surfing game?
Let's work it out. All right, guys? Let's use our context. Let's sound out.
So off-road, right?
Baja.
Mm-hmm.
Edge of Control.
Baja is almost a Boston person saying Bahaba.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Close. All right, I like where you're going with this. Yeah. Work it.
People in Bahaba like to go look at the leaves that are changing. Actually, no, people go to Bar Harbor.
Bahaba.
Right. Tyler, look at the leaves change. Right.
Interject as it comes to you.
I got nothing. I'm really intrigued with this.
In the northeast of the United States, there are a lot of mountainous areas.
Yeah.
Not like Smoky Mountains or, you know, like Appalachian, but we're talking like big hills, little mountains.
Big blue and yellow, purple hills.
You might drive on, you know, with a car. And
There it is. The survey says 95% also said the car game, because that's what this is.
Car game.
I don't understand.
Baja Edge of Control is a game where you drive cars that kind of look like Jeeps. And
oh,
that was a weird noise. Baja Edge of Control, you drive Jeeps kind of looking things. It's like off-road dirty. It's like a desert.
Does it when you take a sharp turn, would the wheels spit dirt onto the camera lens?
No.
Oh.
No, it doesn't have like that Dirt 3 kind of like or that Forza kind of. It's Baja Edge of Control was a Xbox 360 game. It was just recently re-released called Baja Edge of Control HD. It's on Xbox One and I think PC as well.
Good name.
It is a great name.
If it was a surfing game.
The game.
Why are you stuck on surfing? Can you tell
because
me?
Because Edge of Control.
Baja, man.
He
goes surfing at Baja.
What?
Bahaba.
What is Baja, man? Over.
Baja, man?
No, not Baja, man. I like Baja Common,
who
man.
Let the dogs out? Wait.
You know
Baja, what, man.
That song was about ugly women. Nuts.
Yeah. Wait.
That's a great.
Wait. Is your. Wow, that song's so much better. is your only experience with the word Baja in Mountain Dew's Baja Blast also Baja Men?
He's just thinking of a tropical drink.
Yes.
Well, like, it might be.
Well, I'm looking. I saw a commercial once where a guy was surfing on some Baja Blast.
That's not. Yep, that's it.
Okay, well.
Let me tell you something places. About High C Ecto Cooler.
Baja California.
We have.
All right. My thought was Baja California. Oh. People in California, that's what they do. They surf.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, we just psychologically broke down Tyler's, like, where
they also climb mountains.
They also surf on Mountain Dew.
They also get real high on mountains.
So,
fun fact, mountain one high. Time I went to California with a school. And it was my school. I was in
with the school, but they didn't know it.
But he wasn't a part of it. He wasn't in that class.
I was under Cape Fear. I'm doing the Cape Fear.
I was in the school. I was on a bus. I was in show choir, and we got off the bus, and it was the first step I took into the beautiful state of California, and I saw a homeless guy doing a line off his knee.
Nice, dude.
I was 18.
Hell yeah.
Didn't know what the hell he was doing until later in life.
You're like, dude, you should have been like, yo, hook it up.
Dude, nice.
Dude, nice. All right, so yeah, Baja Edge of Control, it's a off-road kind of racing game. It's got a little bit of arcadey feel, but also demands you to be very precise. It's a very interesting kind of way they build it up. It's got a somewhat, like, basically presented career mode. You'll go ahead and you'll get sponsorships. You'll do cups. You'll qualify for races. So in that way, it's not as arcadey as something like Dirt 3 or Dirt 2, but it is still arcadey in the way it controls. It's not full simulation like Forza 7 or anything like that. I would say for the price, if you were a fan of the original game, obviously you're not getting anything brand new. But if you like, I guess, older, like 2006, 2005 era racing games, because there's a very specific kind of period for that, you would enjoy Baja Edge of Control. But if you're expecting something like Need for Speed or Split Second, you're not getting that. If you're expecting something like Colin McRae's Dirt, like the original, or something newer like Dirt Rally, something similar to that, but not as hectic to control.
How does it stack up to Tony Hawk's Pro Shoveler?
It's actually
with the dirt, you know.
Got a great soundtrack.
Yeah, you know.
Just flinging spoonfuls of
that's
dirt.
That's the dirt shovel song. Do it again.
No, that's
fine. I'll just repeat it. okay, that's enough of Baja Edge Control. It was a good time, but yeah, I would say tentatively probably don't purchase. Maybe give it a look at a trailer or two and see if you enjoy the look of it. No, Tyler, I want to see it now too. Tyler's passing something around the studio.
Yep.
And while I look at this and probably laugh really hard, Kevin, what do you think of Cuphead?
Well, Cuphead and his friend Bugman, they love to roll the die. Anyway, we're gonna do that for a million years.
I don't know the whole thing. Good. I don't know the whole song, but it's the ending is
if they proceed
and now they're on. Fuck! What is it? Wait, cup. No, it's all gone now.
This is good. Anyway, once you hear it, you'll never forget it. Right, Matt?
Yeah. No, yeah, it's stuck in my head perpetually. And now
Cuphead's dope. Cuphead is awesome. There is some magic in Cuphead that kind of puts it above a lot of basic criticism that could be taken against the game in some cases.
I remembered it. And now they're running for their lives on a mission fraught with dread. And if they proceed but don't succeed, well, the devil will take their heads. Bump. And then it...
plays that nice little waltz.
With a piano?
Just like...
And
they're
so back and forth. Good, that audio. Tyler was doing the little like...
You know, you get that ASMR bit.
The ASMR.
Mm-hmm.
Continue, Kevin.
Real quick, there's actually ASMR theater. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
I'll send it to you later. Don't drop your phone.
But I was shocked.
I know. That probably was also the sound the shit in your pants just made when I told you that.
Hey.
Cuphead.
Tell me more about Cuphead. So Cuphead, yeah.
Cuphead's beautiful. It's all hand-drawn. If you don't know about it already, I'm kind of surprised. It looks like 1930s, like... those weird ass cartoons. It's got some Looney Tunes vibes to it.
You know, remember, if you just imagine in your head a very old racist cartoon, but remove the racism from
it.
It's like Cuphead is looking at that era of, I mean, the most definable era is when they use blackface and stuff like that.
It's very Steamboat Willie in some ways.
Yeah.
The music even, like, it's very reminiscent of, like, early Disney cartoons.
Big band is horns and stuff like that.
And it's all got this nice post-production, like, record-scratching effect. Like, it sounds like it's being played out of a gramophone.
Freeze frame. Yep. That's me.
You're probably wondering how I got here.
I forgot the record scratch.
And what?
You said the record scratch.
Why is this cup in my head? So the game kind of plays out in this
story's kind of goofy.
Yeah, it's they Cuphead and Mugman, they go gambling and they make a deal with the devil for their souls, end up losing it, and now they have to go collect the souls of everybody else.
And their elder Kettle gives them a potion that allows them to shoot people.
Yeah, very interesting.
Magics.
The game plays out in a Mario-style overworld. The mass majority of levels are these multi-phase boss fights.
Let me tell you something about that. I did not know this was a boss rush when I first started.
Really?
I did not know that. And boy, I was really worried at first. I'm like, man, this is going to be a short-ass game.
No, buddy.
Yeah. When I got through like the first couple boss rushes, I was like, oh man, there's three worlds? I don't know if I'm going to beat this.
Well, here's the thing, is that there's like Kevin said, there's boss rushes. There's also levels called quote-unquote run and guns. They're just like normal Mega Man kind of levels. And then there's some plane stuff. But here's the thing.
I hate the plane stuff.
And that's what I want to say. Here's the thing about Cuphead. Cuphead, like... unlike Dark Souls, there will never be a point where you're like, ah, shit, that was the game's fault. Like, everything is...
oh, yeah.
Unless it's a little bit, like, random, there's always a pattern, and what that means is you will struggle on different bosses or areas than other people will. I brought this up multiple times. I brought up my review. I beat the last boss in under 10 minutes, but I was stuck on this stupid part, this B boss in World 3... for like 2 hours.
And that's literally, that is across the board the standard that I've heard from almost everyone we talked about. Tyler and I were just talking earlier about Floral Panic, I think it was called, right? The first level?
Botanic Panic. With the onion and the... I love that level so much.
Oh, he said he was like stuck on it. I'm like, man, I burned through that.
I mean, to be fair, this was my tutorial, essentially.
Right, yeah. Right.
I didn't get it. I was still finagling with things, but once I got it and hammered right on through it.
Honestly, some of my favorite bosses are the ones with the multi-platforming. I just beat the I'm not going to say too much. I'm
a lot of the, well, and here's the thing about Cuphead is even if I told you at every single boss what they were, you're not going to get it unless you visually see them.
And one thing I heard, I haven't tried it yet because I'm more hardcore than that. If you beat a level on simple mode, you don't get that character's contract.
No, correct.
And therefore, it's a really nice baked-in way to get you to learn the patterns of the fight before you really commit to trying to beat it. I'm just a big fan of that.
The whole gameplay loop of Cuphead, besides the idea of you're trying to get to the end and you have to beat every boss and collect all their souls, is, like Kevin said, there is a ranking system and there's a difficulty system. There's simple and regular, like Kevin said. If you play on the simple difficulty, not only do you not get the soul and you don't progress, but they cut about a third of the boss fight, meaning you will never see the final form, but it does give you, like Kevin said, an excellent chance to prepare. But the thing I like about it the most is once you beat the game, you get an expert difficulty. I went back to Botanic Panic, and using the same exact thing I had before, I got an S on that. That was my computer making a beep. I got an S, which is a perfect ranking, because once you learn a boss pattern, it's not about, hey, we're going to throw 8,000 more things at you. It's just you have to be able to do this consistently. And I don't know. That's what I like the most about it. Kevin, what's up?
The other thing I noticed about the game is that it's deceptively simple. The control scheme is not at all difficult. It's really intuitive.
Did you change your controls?
I did remap my controls so that B was dash.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so A is still jump and parry, B is dash. Because there was a solid like 20 minutes I was playing the game that I forgot dash existed. And well, I was like, how the hell am I supposed to get across this jump? I can't make that.
Absolutely same.
My question for you is why did you put the dash on? My biggest problem is I had dash defaults to Y.
Yes.
Okay. Triangle if you're on PlayStation, but it's not on PlayStation. Haha, in your face. The problem is you can't accurately, shoot and dash at the same time because you're doing this whole, like, we gotta move your thumb.
Right.
What I did is put it on, that's weird. It's probably not even picking up. Never mind. Don't worry about it. I put my lock on because you can lock your character in place and shoot kind of like Metroid.
And that's right bumper.
I put it on right trigger because right bumper isn't used otherwise.
Oh, I should try that.
And then I put dash on left trigger and change weapon type on L1. So what you're doing is you're jumping and shooting with the face buttons, dashing, locking on, and switching weapons.
See,
means you can do
switching
everything.
Switching weapons is already LB though.
Well, then I don't know what I remapped. But here's the thing, too. Here's a secret, guys, if you want to know. The charge shot is the most powerful weapon in the game.
I still got it.
It's like two or three deep, and that's the thing that I like, too. You find coins in this game, but we're not talking Mario coins. Like, there's maybe 20
They're
or 30
like
coins.
Yoshi coins.
Yeah, yeah, and you unlock new abilities and things. What's everyone running with, real quick? So I'll just tell you, my loadout is a pea shooter, charge shot, and then I either use automatic parry, which lets me just jump at anything and parry without having to press the second button, or the smoke dash. Honestly, I've used that and the first super art, which is like your ultra move, consistently throughout the thing. The charge shot, the only reason I have the pea shooter is to switch back to it because the EX move for the charge shot is like he claps in front of him, which is not useful for bosses. You don't want to get up in their face like that. What are you guys running with? Because there's like a spread shot, there's like a homing missile, there's like a lobber, something that you have to shoot backwards for maximum damage.
Yeah,
crazy amount of stuff.
Shot, yeah.
Yeah, I use that for a few bosses.
I currently use the spread shot and the pea shooter because I don't have anything else. I played with the lobber for a little bit on
spread
the
spread shot's
candy,
probably second best, I would say.
On the candy one, the candy level.
Candy level's one
there's
of my
some
favorite
ground bosses.
Yeah, yeah.
So I use the lobber for that. And I use the smoke dash and the extra health.
Tyler, I'm assuming that you probably haven't gotten too far.
I don't have any charms. I don't have any extra cool things.
Well,
I have the lobber, I have the spread shot, and I have the pea shooter. So I stopped using the spread shot after I got the lobber.
Mm-hmm.
Spread shot doesn't actually do a whole lot of damage.
No, it's just like if the thing I like for the spread shot the most is for running gun levels, because if enemies are going to jump a teeny bit, the pea shooter shoots that straight line.
Yeah.
But the spread shot, you at least have a little bit of coverage if they jump over your head or you're just like a little bit off.
Right.
So that's the main reason. But yeah, they say it does a lot of damage, but it doesn't.
I don't
really
know how it actually shakes out, but my thoughts are that if you hit with all three pieces of the spread shot, it probably equals one of the pea
shooters. Someone did the breakdown on Reddit, and that's how I found out the charge shot. The charge shot, by the way, unless they changed the math on it, it takes like 2 seconds to charge or 3 seconds to charge fully, and you shoot that, it does like 55 damage.
Holy hell.
By comparison, your EX move on your pea shooter, which, you know, takes like maybe 10 seconds of you shooting something to build up, that does like 30 damage. It's not a joke. It's like the most overpowered thing, so much so that I almost wish that it wasn't, because I saw myself killing a lot of bosses way faster than I should. No. It's just like, that's the thing, is it's precision. So you have to be able to consistently charge and shoot them, which means that you have to consistently know the patterns and the openings.
Right. Now, is it like Mega Man charge and shoot?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Which means you can't hold it. Here's another fun fact. If you have the pea shooter and then you have the charge shot, and you tap L1 quickly while you, tap X, you shoot both at like the same pace. So you do kind of double damage. I've been fooling around with that game a lot. If you can't tell...
That's the beauty of it, is it's so simple. There's a lot of interesting things you can do in it.
Yeah, regardless of your skill level. And the game kind of teaches you intuitively as you go. The first boss you play at Botanic Panic might seem, like Tyler said, very difficult because you can't get your head around it. But once you get to World 3, you go back to Botanic Panic, you do that thing with your eyes closed, mm-hmm. practically. Mm-hmm. You know, Cuphead, I think, is going to be even more successful than it already is, but 100,000 copies sold on Steam already.
One of my favorite takes on this game is from Justin McElroy. He said on Twitter a couple days ago, he said, the hardest part about Cuphead is finding my controller.
Because he throws it so much?
Just imagining. Yeah, because there are a few times where I'm like, I was playing that blimp level, that godforsaken blimp level. And man, I just got mad. I was just like, I don't like this.
Here's another thing before we jump off of this. Solo is more fun than co-op.
Why?
Because co-op is, the only difference for co-op is that they double down the health. Which means you just have to deal with more crap.
So it's a bullet sponge.
Yes. That's the only difference.
Fun.
And the expert version is just, unless I'm wrong, I've only played 4 or 5 bosses, expert mode is just co-op health, but you're solo.
The other thing I wanted to note, this is a little pro tip for those of
that's
you.
That's why I didn't give it a 10, man. There's some problems with it.
That are playing along at home.
Yeah.
The parry, you have to hit the projectile with your straw, not your body.
Yeah, it's a, you want to hit it like...
It took me a while to figure out.
That's why I kind of do automatic parry, because what happens is seeing a pink thing no longer becomes, oh, I really hope I get this, to it's, oh, there's free meter. All I have to do is jump into it, which if you're not trying to, usually you do by accident anyways, so... It's really, really good. But Cuphead, yeah, I finished it up, gave it a 9.5 out of 10. It's one of those games, man. It could take you 30 hours, it could take you 3 hours. I think the world record right now is 32 minutes. Pretty damn good.
Wow.
For all the bosses, because you don't have to be the run-and-gun levels.
Right.
Some shortcuts,
they're
you can use
necessary.
Shortcuts, and yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Whew, you know what? Metroid Samus Returns, I'll just talk about this really briefly. Kevin has it in his hands, because I am letting him borrow it. Tyler hasn't played it yet.
Nope.
I talked about this last week, and I said we'd talk about it more when I played it and finished it. I have finished it. My official rating is an 8.5 out of 10. No, it's an 8 out of 10, I think. I don't know. But it's around there. Generally speaking, it is a reimagining of Metroid 2. Metroid 2 was not by any means an amazing game or anything. It was kind of...
Yeah, I heard they saved this one with the scan pulse.
Yeah, so that's the biggest thing, is it's welcoming to newcomers. Beforehand, and something like Super Metroid that I was playing in, SNES Classic, you would explore the area. As you explore a room and the areas around it, the map gets uncovered. If you want to find a hidden secret, you just gotta bomb all the walls. In Metroid Samus Returns, there is things called ion abilities, which are 4 very powerful abilities you get over the course of the game. The first one you get is the scanner. You press A, it pulses, and it'll show the rooms surrounding, I would say maybe 2 or 3 rooms out surrounding Samus on the map, and also lights up all destroyable blocks within that room that will lead to secret passages. So what that does is takes those moments that you're stuck and makes them less difficult, and it just kind of eases you through. Granted, I still got stuck once, or I think 2 or 3 times for like an hour or so, so there's still that kind of, like, you're gonna have to remember a thing or two. But for exploration, God, that's so good. You can just see the map, you don't have to worry about, oh, I missed this random little passageway. You're never gonna feel like you're missing anything too hard. That's what I liked about it, is that I knew generally where every missile and all that kind of stuff was, or where they would be located. It was just a matter of me, whether or not I wanted to take that kind of challenge on.
I feel like my patience for Metroidvanias has grown sadly thin.
Yeah.
I love the concept of a Metroidvania, but far too infrequently do I have the time to devote to it like I used to.
That's a pretty brief game. I finished up in like 10 hours, and that's from me as a Metroid newcomer. But then again, the mini bosses, you just shoot missiles.
I just feel like I remember,
that's always a thing.
I basically forgot Long Division in order to memorize the entire upside down and regular side up castle of Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
And I still have that knowledge and I love that game to death. And I think if I were presented with that game at this age, I wouldn't be, it would be untenable for me to play that to the same degree.
I'm still every 2 to 3 weeks, I boot up Castlevania and I go, a big sigh, and then I pull up my Chrome, and then I start typing game facts, and then they play this game of, which guide was I looking at? Because this game is it's a maze in more ways than one.
Which game?
Symphony of the Night.
Oh.
But actually, pull this back a teeny bit, Cuphead, after you beat the game, when you go back and start doing things on Expert, when you load your save, it'll say like 47% next to it. It says like 125%.
Nice.
I really enjoy when games give me a 200% completion. I'm going for it. And I will also say that Cuphead is good enough that I found myself wanting to get all the achievements in it, which is something like beat the every run and gun level without hitting or killing anything. Getting an S rank on everything, which means perfecting every boss on Expert.
Does that include parry?
No. Wait, yes. I don't know.
S-rank. Because
S rank does include parry.
No, the pacifist, I think he's meaning.
The pacifist, because if you parry some of the pink enemies, I mean, you're killing them.
Yep. There is a power-up that lets you... there is a power-up that... Or a charm that when you attack, it does like a axe thing, or a parry, it does like an axe attack. I don't think that a normal parry would count because it's a defensive measure, wouldn't it?
A normal parry kills whatever you're parrying.
True, but not everything you parry is an enemy. You know, sometimes they're bullets.
That's true.
So maybe you can't just work around that. And the only thing that parry gives you is just
super bar, but
which you're not going to use. I guess probably the dash would be the most important thing.
Yeah.
But anyways, Metroid, real quick, just going back to that. Kevin, I'm really excited. I hope you enjoy it. We're going to talk about it next episode.
I'm just very excited to have this because I'm going to be traveling soon, so I'm very excited.
This game is perfect for traveling.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. And this game is, it also uses one of my favorite kind of mechanics that I haven't seen used since like Luigi's Mansion. In Luigi's Mansion, there's 30 or 40 boos.
Original?
OG, Luigi's Mansion for GameCube. There's 30 or 40 boos. You need to find them in the house. Okay? That's what that game is. Metroid is, hey, go to this planet. There's 40 Metroids. You gotta find them. There's like 9 areas. You just kill however many Metroids. You put it in the totem pole, and then you go to the next one. And there's something just so... You know how when you're playing a game, you're like, I need a good place to stop? Metroid is good because it's you fight a mini-boss every 10 minutes, or you're on to the next area every hour or two. Each area, like I said, 10 hours, 9 areas. Each area was about an hour.
Nice.
So you it's really good for, hey, I'm going to play this for 30 minutes. Or, hey, I'm going to play this while I wait. Go kill a Metroid. I'm good. Like, right. Very, very good in pacing, I would say. I'm only a little bit disappointed that when I said, Tyler, that you just used missiles to kill bosses, it's because although the Metroids take on different forms and stuff, the strategy for killing them is always the same. It's just shoot them in the mouth with missiles. Like, nothing. Even once you get, like, the full power-ups towards the end, it's just shoot them in the mouth with missiles. So I wish there would have been... Because some of the... I won't spoil any of the really big boss fights. That stuff is really cool, really imaginative, so I really kind of wish there was a little bit more variety in the mini-bosses when they're doing so well. You know, like if you're going to make Metroid, make it. But then again, it is a remake of a Game Boy Advance game. Really excited to see what you have to say about it.
Original Game Boy.
It wasn't on Game Boy? The OG Game Boy?
You said Advance. I just wanted to make
sure. Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah, it was on original Game Boy.
Okay.
It was Metroid 2. And I hope, Tyler, you get to play that as well. Is Rush?
He's done. He's working on Fusion right now.
I assume.
He didn't want to.
I really want to play Fusion.
I'm.
Here's my thing. When the hell does... I gotta look it up and then write it down. But when Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga remake comes out, I'm all over that.
Wait, they're remaking that?
Yeah, they announced it.
So fun.
They announced it at one of their directs, like not the last one. I think the one before that, though. We got a little bit more to talk about.
I just got a quick news point to throw out there.
Yep.
Stardew Valley coming to Switch.
Yes.
Like, isn't it like tomorrow or
very soon?
This week.
It's very soon.
I think it's very soon. Yes,
please,
you're right.
God, if you have a
is this
Switch,
much?
This game was made for this. I mean, it wasn't made for the Switch. It's going to be perfect. For
isn't
the
it
Switch.
The 27th though? I thought because Misha, who works with us,
yes.
I thought she said she didn't want to review Mario Odyssey because Stardew comes out that day.
It might be the 27th.
It's either October.
It's coming very
soon.
Yeah,
which I have to talk to Tyler
it's
about.
It's coming
that,
very
then.
Soon. Please,
might need to
please, please. play this game. It's going to be perfect for Switch. I promise.
In interest of time, we're going to skip over the Destiny 2 raid because Kevin actually wants to get home to do that. We're going to save Ruiner for next time. Tyler, but let's just say this. It's not a twin stick shooter as much as it is a 2D action game.
It feels more Fury if Fury was shittier.
Less Hotline Miami, more like weight to the character. You want to dodge and stuff, but it's kind of loose. Tyler originally didn't like it. I rebutted and said, oh, you should really like it, Tyler, but I haven't returned to it.
I played it one more try on this part, and I hate it.
I can understand. Play it on easy still, I say.
October 5th.
October 5th. Okay, cool. So yeah, if you haven't played Stardew Valley, guys,
I'm looking at it.
That's some shit right there.
So I own it on PC. Should I buy it again?
Yeah, absolutely, because you're probably more likely to play it on
Switch. Here's the question.
That's true.
It's portable. How often?
That's the thing.
How
I
often
have a
do
Surface. That's I use my Surface to play portable.
That's a good point. Controller though.
I mean controller.
I've been playing it on Xbox. I bought it on Xbox and PC.
I can Bluetooth my controller into my Surface.
I just want to say real quick, for the first time in real life, I saw four people gathered around a Switch. They're playing Mario Kart in line for the SNES. Well, not in line. They were in like the, you know, like one of the aisles. But I saw them huddled around something which I thought was a tablet. And I was like, hey, what are you guys watching? Like, Mario Kart 8. I'm like, how can you see that? And they're like, we can't. They stopped playing after about 10 minutes. Continue.
Get it for Switch, please.
Let's be honest here, Tyler.
You are more likely to play it on Switch.
But I won't. I have far too many games.
Just
to
play. So people understand, this was Kevin's game of the year last year. So.
I know it was, and I
no,
want
not
to
not.
A
I'm not telling you. It's just I'm assuming people who are listening who maybe not have listened are like, why is Kevin so fervently trying to get everyone to play?
It's
Stardew?
Still a 10 out of 10.
Everybody
on Steam.
Thinks,
I mean, it is a 10 out of 10.
Everybody thinks that Stardew Valley is just Harvest Moon.
It's Harvest Moon with like progression.
There's progression. There's,
Harvest Moon is progression.
There's Animal Crossing style relationships.
I never understand Animal Crossing.
I'm just saying it has that feature. I'm not saying it's just like Animal Crossing. I'm just saying that it.
Hey,
it also
hey boys.
Has a PvE aspect, like Zelda style dungeon crawl.
Uh-huh.
It has a micromanaging and economy to it. Dude, it's good. It's so good.
So let's save the heated arguments for Game of the Year. We got 2 months till that. Tyler, it's going to be crazy this year. Just objectively speaking for a second, can we say that 2017 has probably been the best year in games since 10 years
2007?
Ago? 2007?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be fucking nuts. Tell me Mega Man X Corrupted, or we can save it for next time.
No,
to you.
I'll talk about it real quick.
Okay, go for it.
So imagine a Mega Man X game completely
corrupted.
Adventure style.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
PC?
Yes.
How much?
Free.
Is this different from the Mega Man Maker thing that I saw?
Yes. So now
this
guy,
this
known as JKB, is he's been, this is his passion project for the past 8 years.
Passion, pleasure.
So it's essentially in the style of X2 and 3.
You know, I only ever played X. Is X2 and X3?
They're all the same.
Just bigger sprites, right?
Bigger sprites.
Okay. I'm cool with this still. Keep going.
Essentially, what you don't know about X2 and X3 is the ride armor platforms. Okay. So you can jump into a platform and choose from one of four ride armors.
Okay.
And they have that in this.
Yeah.
They also have a character armor swap.
That's
where
cool.
You can choose like the light armor, the falcon armor, the ultimate armor.
I'm into this.
This phoenix armor. And not only can you play as X,
I'm
you can
interested
play as Zero. And
with a sword?
This is an alternate timeline after X5. So instead of introducing Axel in X6 like they did and ruining everything.
Yeah, forever.
They stopped it right there.
Yeah.
And they basically made a Metroidvania out of Mega Man.
You know what? I would say that this sounds perfect. The only thing that sounds more perfect than this is like a Cuphead Metroidvania. I don't know. Mega Man is amazing, but Cuphead with the animation. I'm going to download this. It's
not available yet. He's still working on it.
When?
It's been 8 years. Probably one or two more.
Did you just like catch wind of it recently, or was it something you've been sitting on?
So I go
you
on
holding
the,
this information from me, you motherfucker.
So I go on the Mega Man knowledge database every single day.
I am Mega Man DB.
MMKB. And
it's a good game.
I stumbled across Because I was looking for playable characters. Who can you actually play as in different Mega Man games?
He was doing some research for the D&D.
Well, no, like. I want to play Mega Man Powered Up because if you beat
Mega Man All Strong
for the PSP,
okay,
if you beat a boss without taking a hit, you can play as them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's all the Mega Man 1 bosses plus Oil Man and Time Man. I don't know if you're familiar.
No, I'm not familiar with Oil Man and Time Man, but I could fuck with some Gutsman.
Yeah, got them or guts. Elecman or Iceman.
He's like a little igloo guy. Do you remember when they were just robot monsters? Were just like the robot masters were just like, yeah, he's ice guy. He's got igloo on his head. Dummy.
He's an Eskimo.
He's got a
fire cannon on his head or whatever.
Hey, dumb dumb.
Gutsman. He's a big dude.
He's
cup man. He's got scissors on his head. What do you know?
Yeah, mug man.
Mug man. He's got a cup on his. Wait.
Mug man. He's got a dish dome. All right, guys, we got two options here. Titanfall Mobile.
Or
Good Night Story.
Kev?
Wait, hold on. Let's just enter the Titanfall universe really quick so I can do this thing here.
Cooper, jump inside my body. Cooper. Cooper, do you like my costume? I'm spooky.
So, but no, actually, is Titanfall Mobile like good? Is it fun?
I like it a lot. It's
genre.
Almost Clash Royale. It's almost Tower versus Tower with a deck of cards where you drop cards.
Let's make this deal. If you're still playing it next episode, go ahead. You can talk all about it.
Okay.
I feel like Titanfall
and it made me happy.
I'm going to burn out on Goodnight Story, too. It's a match 3. It's pretty cool. Rock, paper, scissors style. The whole story is you're a knight who got too drunk and is trying to piece together the previous night.
How much is it?
It's free.
It's free.
It's interesting because it has the whole
fucking talent.
It has the whole dungeon crawl mechanic where like you're matching 3 on the bottom and then your character's fighting on top.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have countdown timers for creatures' attacks, and you have to match shields in order to block the attack.
It's made by a developer known as Turbo Chili.
Turbo Chili. Yep.
It's a really good name.
It's a good fun. It's good fun. I'm enjoying it.
There's something called Dice Hunter Quest
Dice
of the
Master.
Yeah, yeah. So
wait,
that's
Quest of the what?
Quest of the something. I don't know.
Of the Dice Mancer?
I don't know.
I think so.
Yes.
That's the game I'm playing.
Yeah, I think that's...
It was underneath, like, the related. I was interested in that, too. Okay.
I like that game. It's a good game.
I just wanted to say that the Bully level, that the Halloween Bully.
I haven't played Bully.
You guys know Bully?
Heard of it.
Pull the audience. How many people know Bully?
I know of it.
3.
Okay. So Bully is made by Rockstar before they discovered what microtransactions were. And they were like, snap, you're going to be a kid and you're like at this boarding school and shit. And we're going to be, you know, you're going to have to go run around and do the things. But the thing I like the most is that because you play through a whole school year.
As
Bobby the Bully. Well, he's not a bully. He gets bullied a lot.
Is his name actually Bobby?
No, I don't know what it is.
I just think he
looks just like Bobby.
Yeah.
Damn it, Bobby.
Oh, damn it, Bobby.
Is this everyone? Okay, everyone gets to do one. All right, go ahead. Yeah. Kevin, you get again. Okay, then. Okay.
Oh, so propane and propane accessories.
Tyler, you going to go for one?
I did.
Oh, you already did. Okay.
I went first.
So it's when you run around, you do things, and when it's the holiday, the world changes. So, like, when it's Christmas, everyone has Christmas trees, and you're doing, like, Christmas kind of missions. Like, hey, go steal the presents, or go mess up these elves. And Halloween, it's all Halloween-themed. It's not exactly a Halloween level as much as it is, like, a whole entire chapter. But it's just great because it's Grand Theft Auto-style game. Well, I mean, you're not killing children or anything. Calm the hell down. It's not like that. But you have that kind of Grand Theft Auto running around and doing missions, but it's like, go TP the teacher's house, you know, go drop a pie on their head, like do like mischief shit. It's really good stuff. I just wanted to bring that up.
Part of Trick or Treat.
Wait, what about Trick or Treating?
The trick part of Trick or Treat.
Costume
quest, but Diablo, you know.
I just wanted to revisit this real quick. We had brought up Ocarina of Time 2D a few episodes ago. The update on that is that they are 19.5% done. The latest video was posted a long time ago. I think that thing is done.
You think so?
I'm clicking on the YouTube link right now for the version 0.20. Oh God, that's an advertisement. This was put up December 18th, 2015.
Oh, geez.
It's been about 2 years since an update. Looks like that thing is Dunzo Bananas. That's kind of, guys, that's it. That's all we got for you guys. We did some spooky stuff at the top. We do some spooky stuff in the middle. We'll talk about more spooky stuff towards the end of the month when we get closer to Halloween, but it's always Spooktober around here. Kevin has a game fact, but before we do that, real quick, corrections!
All right. Mea culpa on this one. Monster Rancher, rather, was on PS1, not GameCube.
And furthermore...
Tyler, I still think your Matrix disc would probably work.
We had a listener who told us that, I think it was Vince, said that the Madonna album unlocked a really good car, and he went to... not a car.
What car in the game?
No.
The car monster.
The Madonna album.
Ride me.
He went to the library and got it. Oh. And it was like...
If it was a PS1...
Yeah.
Then I can't actually put the Matrix disc in.
Why is it small?
It was square.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to work. well, unless it's made, who knows? No, because it's made to be fed into a thing.
It's made to be put on a, set on a, one of the spinner.
Ah, so you can be like, check this out. It's my thing. Yeah. And the Madonna album is OP. All I have to say is where to find us before we tie this up. Does anyone else have anything they want to talk about before we wrap this bitch up?
Nope, just shout outs and
Chucklefish pushed Wargroove back to early 2018. That makes me sad.
Alright, shouts out real quick. Well, first off, you can find me and Kevin's writing over at a90skid.com. It's where I do all of my reviews. Furthermore, you find all of the Super Gamecast 64 stuff on our Twitter. The official show Twitter is at SuperGamecast64, but if you want to talk to me and see some of my articles, that's at SGC64 Matt.
I'm at gingerbeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at T. Tremaglio.
If you want to email us, you can also do that. It's sgc64mail@gmail.com. If you review us on iTunes, regardless of what rating you give us, review Robot2K12-3000. We'll read it out on the show. If you review, you have the chance to win an Xbox or PC game. Kevin,
It's not a chance. You win. You get it.
Well, what if 20 people tomorrow do it?
We have 20 games to give out.
Oh, that's a good point. All right, so you will get a game, but you just PS4. No, sorry, don't have anything right now. Kevin, not the Kevin on the show, but the Kevin that I owe the $20 thingy for. I will totally still get you that. Don't worry about it. I'll bring it up so you know I haven't forgotten you.
Unless speaking, he wants payday. I'll give him payday
for PS4.
No, for PC.
He doesn't play. He only PS4.
Only PS4.
Yeah, he don't have PC. Kevin doesn't have PC. Man, it's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault.
Oh, there's another crack on my screen. Also, speaking of Kevin and Vince, go check out Shonen Trash. It is a anime podcast. They're doing spooky stuff.
Those dudes are great.
They gave a shout out on last episode. To which I have to say, real briefly, guys, is Voltron 10 out of 10? Cause Kevin hates Voltron. Well, they don't hate Voltron.
I also don't care for Voltron.
Voltron's awesome.
Well, the thing is that Voltron is not technically anime, but they always get shit. People talk about it.
Dude, Avatar's the best anime. Everybody knows that.
Did you guys see the... No, bring it up next time. But yeah, Voltron is like the Megazord, but...
Sorry.
Are you dying?
The Avatar comment.
It's okay. Yeah, so you can listen to them on Google Play, SoundCloud, iTunes. That is Shonen Trash. Really good anime stuff. Choose My Own Adventure. Great. D&D. Oh, well, it's not D&D. It's
Fates.
Okay, so Fates system. But it's a role-playing kind of D&D-esque show.
Yes, from our friend Mark.
Where you, the viewer, decide what happens next. Check that out on iTunes as well, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Google Play, all that stuff.
Yep, he's actually doing a really cool series for Inktober. Right now,
he's a
graphic artist, and he is fantastically talented. He drew a picture of Felurian from Name of the Wind today.
It was awesome.
And it was just fantastic.
Furthermore, the Shonen Trash guys are also doing stuff for October. They are reviewing Parasite, I think, on their latest one, which is a body horror anime.
The eyeball with the hand. Got it. Yes, I don't know that one. Yeah. It was scary.
Yes. They actually used that gif for the...
Speaking of our writing, shout out to one of our coworkers on that website, Misha Crossing.
Yes, she Misha
was listed on a, was it New York Times?
No, it was Telegraph.
Telegraph. She was listed on a Telegraph article with a lot of really famous YouTubers, like top, pretty high pedigree.
Well, it's top 20 YouTubers that you should follow. Misha was on there. We love Misha. She was on there with other names such as Jacksepticeye, Peanut Butter Gamer,
Friggin' Markiplier was on there.
Yeah, Total Biscuit. I mean,
Game Grumps.
All I'm saying is that, like, yeah, shouts out to her because she has 21,000 viewers, which is, or 21,000 subscribers, which, like I said in the article, is small in comparison to some of these people, but the quality of said content is really good. So shouts out to Misha, a great, great friend, great coworker.
I just want to touch back on Inktober.
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing something creative this month.
Do it. Do it, man.
I can't draw.
Me neither.
Now you can learn. Inktober, baby.
Well, I wasn't thinking about learning how to draw. I was thinking about...
Tyler. We know a Tyler who knows how to draw.
Well, yeah. I know how to do two things. I know how to create D&D campaigns and create characters for D&D.
When we have and a...
play video games.
Well, Rush can draw.
Well, yeah, but he's not doing Inktober. He said no.
Yeah, he did.
But you can pay him.
I'm not going to pay him to draw. No.
Boy, why would you... Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. Guys, let's get to this game fact. Kevin, tell us this game fact before we leave.
Everybody knows my previous game fact about the popular kids restaurant and arcade.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
Yes.
And who it was created by?
Mr. Cheese.
No.
No, I don't remember, actually.
Nolan Bushnell was actually...
Yeah, that's right. The Atari boy.
He's one of the people that kind of...
Mr. Cheese.
...pushed that along to get Pong into the hands of little children everywhere. Did you know... Have you ever thought about... Chuck E. Cheese's name? Because obviously Chuck E. Cheese is the name of the restaurant, but it's also the name of the pizza rat, you know?
Yeah, he's both Chuck E.
Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, his name is Charles Entertainment Cheese.
What?
Yeah, his middle name is literally entertainment. Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese, my middle name is entertainment.
Charles E. Cheese.
That's a guy.
He's got a backstory. He was orphaned.
What?
Yeah, and he like was sad about not ever having a birthday as a little mouse.
So he was a mouse, he made cheese.
A birthday town for a little kid, like, you know, not a literal birthday town.
Yeah.
A place where kids could celebrate their birthdays so then no one would ever have to miss their birthday.
Damn, that's tragic, actually.
I'm sad, dude. Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Way to sandbag the show, Chuck.
Imagine a world completely without birthdays. No, without birthdays. Under pizza, too. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah.
DJ.
Spin it.
Okay, hey, this is fun. Hey, there was something I had at the top of the show that I was going to use, but I didn't.
Is this bonus content? Is this like after the album's over and you wait like 15 minutes through the silence?
This is DLC.
To hear the...
This is DLC.
It's like the Sanskrit version of...
Yeah. I'm just going to... This is casual. If you're listening now and you're like, oh... You're like, oh, that was a good show. You can hop out now, but I just want to throw this one out there. Who went in a fight? Frankenstein with half lightning or Dracula if he was like 28 days after no blood and he was like, I'm not feeling too well, guys?
Frank.
Yeah, definitely.
Frank.
Then? Mm-hmm. Count Chocula, Frankenberry. What's the best cereal out of there?
Booberry.
Fuck you. Booberry is the right answer. You can't just come out of the gate with Booberry. Kevin, can you please sandbag his Booberry? Yeah, what's the bad one?
Count
Chocolate.
Frankenberry.
Fuck.
No, Count Chocolate's way.
Wait, okay, okay. So there's chocolate, and then Frankenberry's the orange one.
Uh huh. Red. It's red. It's pink.
Blueberry is the orange one.
No, it's blue.
And what's the orange one?
Blueberry.
Oh, that's right. It's spooky ghost.
Oh my god.
What's the orange one?
There's no orange one.
Mummy. Yummy mummy.
Yummy mummy.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, dude. Fuck you. It is. There's an orange one.
Look it up.
Wait, yummy mummy. Come on.
How
the other ones are named. The other ones are at least names.
Frankenberry.
Yummy mummy cereal. Oh, guys, in your fucking goblets.
Wait.
Look at this shit.
We've got Count Chocula. We've got Frankenberry. We've got Boo Berry.
And yummy mummy.
Those are all names. And then we have yummy mummy.
Look at this motherfucking youngy mummy.
What flavor is it?
It's orange.
Yummy, idiot.
It's fucking orange,
bro.
That's
what I'm talking about. No, that's not.
It's orange cream.
That is not the same.
Oh, that looks fucking gross.
That looks so gross.
It looks like
that's old. That's old school. Where's the new? Where's the new? There it is. Here, that's the new box. That's the new box. Look at that.
With your mouth.
Oh my god.
Now you can buy into it, huh?
No.
Well, that's definitely the same art style.
No, that one says Fruity Yummy Mummy.
Yeah.
Which well, is just it's the way, return of Fruity. Too much.
No, the Fruity first one was Yummy, Fruity Yummy, Yummy Mummy.
Does that one have Brendan Fraser in it?
You know, here's an interesting reason. Top five reasons that Hollywood won't hire Brendan Fraser. Because he was in Yummy Mummy. Don't worry, guys. I am putting all these on the Twitter so you can see which Yummy Mummy we are talking about. With that, we must leave.
I'm literally standing up and leaving.
I love you all. Good night.